And welcome back to Dads on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood, men's and boys' issues. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and in the studio with me today is Ken Thompson.
Hi, Bill, and hi to everyone who's listening.
And our special guest today is Jasmine Newman. Jasmine is a specialist men's coach and the founder of Relating to Men. She coaches men through suicide, abuse and denial of their children after divorce. And she's been helping these men who are struggling and feeling lost and alone to move to a place of acceptance and confidence. She's a mother of two, an author, presenter and coach, living in the idyllic coastal town of Marimbula on the south coast of New South Wales. Jasmine, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you.
So, Jasmine, this problem that we've got, and it's largely unrecognised, I think you'd have to say, of male suicide, it really is a major problem in our community, isn't it?
It certainly is a major problem. And, you know, one of the biggest issues that we have is getting enough awareness out there. We seem to be talking about all manner of other things across Australia, but we're not talking about extremely high suicide rates that we have.
Yes, it always amazes me that there's such an outpouring of effort and energy and money and everything when, for instance, a whale beaches with this enormous suicide problem, there's very little attention given to it.
Well, that's right. And, you know, I think that the biggest issue that we're ignoring there is that, you know, a lot of men that are taking their own lives are, you know, perhaps homeless. My thing is that we're not asking the right questions about suicide. You know, why are people homeless? Why are men homeless? Why are men taking their own lives? Not all men that take their own lives are homeless, but we, you know, the problems that we have with men in society is that we ignore them and dismiss them as just being forgotten people, and that's where, you know, we really need to start asking better questions.
And I think you object to just classifying them all as being due to mental illness.
Yeah, I don't subscribe to the theory that suicide is entirely a mental health problem, let me put it that way. Certainly, mental health is a contributing factor, but, you know, the suicide problem in Australia is and around the world, you know, it's the same problem around the world, but it's a life issue, not so much a mental health issue. You know, what's going on in life, what's going on in the lives of these men that is causing them to take their own life? Yes, they become depressed and so therefore become suicidal. But why aren't we asking questions about what it is that's leading to such prolific amounts of depression in men? Why aren't we putting research into that?
When you ask that question, what is the answer you get from the men? These are, of course, the survivors, but the people that have been through this trauma, what do they say has driven them to the edge of suicide?
In most cases, you know, a lot of the men that I speak to are involved in family court cases, and certainly a contributing factor. But the underlying sentiment, the underlying emotion, is one of despair. And, you know, when we have hopelessness or despair, there's not much left at that point. You know, when you're in that place of, it's the world is so dark that you can't see outside of it. You know, you can't see outside of your own bubble, and they're pushed to the brink, you know, they're pushed to the brink where they can see no hope. And being able to just hold a torch for people and to hold a torch for men to say, you know, it's okay, I'm here with you. Yes, it's dark, but I'm here beside you, is the key to being able to get them past that point. If we can all just listen more and be there more for people. But we need more services and we need better services, and we need, in suicide prevention, we specifically need services that understand men's issues without putting any judgment or blame on men.
Jasmine, can you give us a feel for the numbers that are involved here with men in Australia and suicide?
Well, at the moment, according to the most recent ABS figures from 2013, the average weekly male suicide was 38 men a week.
38 men a week.
But if we had 38 people dying on our roads every week, there'd be a lot of action.
Exactly, exactly. And with not wanting to bring gender into it too much, but if it was 38 women a week, there would be a national outcry. You know, we would be doing everything in our power to turn this around. And this is, you know, this is where this really hurts men that we completely ignore them. You know, they feel like they're the forgotten, you know, disposable gender in our society. And when I cut down to the core of these conversations with men that I support, it's something that comes up repeatedly, is that you know, they just feel lost and forgotten. And like you say, you know, if it was 38 car deaths a week or you know, 38 out of anything else, we would be talking about it. It would be right across the media. But we're not, and you know, there's just no effort being put into the real support that needs to be there, and the understanding that needs to be there for men, and to understand the issues that men are facing.
Well, the other problem is the misinformation. There's a bit of a frenzy on at the moment about domestic violence and issues affecting women, and you know, even to the extent where you'd get the impression, I think if a Martian came to Earth, he might think that domestic violence kills more women than any other cause, and yet that's far from the truth, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is far from the truth, and you know, it all comes down to cherry picking statistics and the framework that they want to present. There's a clear agenda there to support what to me has become the domestic violence industry. There's a lot of people making money and making a living out of what is now the domestic violence industry, and I think that's something that needs to be investigated and explored, you know, right throughout government.
Yes, I had a look at the principal causes of death for women, and well, domestic violence doesn't make the top five. The first one is coronary, then there's cerebrovascular, dementia, lung cancer, chronic pulmonary. Domestic violence doesn't really figure, which is no one would ever believe that if you read all the newspapers. And, of course, we've got our Australian of the Year who's busily promoting the same industry.
Yes, and, you know, she started out with a different mantra. We're talking about Rosie Batty, of course. When she first started speaking about ending domestic violence in Australia, she had a gender-neutral approach, and she said she wanted to end all violence, end all domestic violence. And, you know, that's not the way it's become. It's been manufactured, and she's been groomed into talking only about violence against women. I understand from other people that I know that have spoken to her that she has a great disposition. I'm sure she's a lovely person, but I feel like she's been groomed into this personality now that is just there to campaign against violence against women, as if violence against men doesn't matter. Just going back to your earlier statement there, Bill, the actual violence in domestic violence in Australia is a very, very small percentage. It's around 1-2% of domestic violence that is actually violent. The rest of what we're talking about is abuse, and often verbal abuse, or what is being described as abuse. And that has now come down to anything as simple as a man raising his voice to his wife. So, you know, what we're talking about here is domestic arguments now being called domestic violence.
And we're speaking with Jasmine Newman, who's a specialist men's coach and a founder of Relating to Men. Jasmine, we might take a short break now. Would you like to pick a song for us to listen to?
Yes, one of my favourites is Paul Kelly's From Little Things, Big Things Grow, which is really, you know, my message there is that we're all just throwing ripples on the pond here, and, you know, we need to start creating some waves. So it's a particularly sentimental song for me.
Okay, this is Paul Kelly singing From Little Things, Big Things Grow.
People, I'll tell you a story, an 8-year-long story of power and pride.
British Lord Vestey, Vincent Lingyari, were opposite men on opposite sides. Vestey was fat, with money and muscle. Beef was his business, broad was his door. Vincent was lean, he spoke very little. He had no bank balance, hard dirt was his floor. From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow. Gurindji were working for nothing but rations, but once they had gathered the wealth of the land, daily the pressure got tighter and tighter. Gurindji decided they must make a stand. They picked up their swags and started off walking. At Wadi Creek they sat themselves down. Now it don't sound like much, but it sure got tongues talking back at the homestead and then in the town. From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow. A vesting man said, I'll double your wages, 18 quid a week you'll have in your hand. Vincent said, uh-uh, we're not talking about wages, we're sitting right here till we get our land. Vestey man roared, Vestey man thundered, you don't stand a chance of a cinder and snow. Vince said, if we fall, others are rising. From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow. Then Vincent Lingyari boarded an airplane, landed in Sydney, big city of lights. And daily he went round softly speaking his story to all kinds of men from all walks of life. And Vincent sat down with big politicians. This affair, they told him, it's a matter of state. Let us sort it out while your people are hungry. Vincent said, no thanks, we know how to wait. From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow. Then Vincent Lingyari returned in an airplane back to his country once more to sit down. And he told his people, let the stars keep on turning. We have friends in the south, in the cities and towns. Eight years went by, eight long years of waiting, till one day a tall stranger appeared in the land. And he came with lawyers, and he came with great ceremony, and through Vincent's fingers poured a handful of sand. From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow.
And that was Paul Kelly singing from Little Things, Big Things Grow. And we are speaking today to Jasmine Newman, who is a specialist men's coach and founder of Relating to Men. So, Jasmine, we've just been talking about the real problem, and it is an epidemic of male suicide. What resources are open to men when they find themselves confronted by this threat of suicide?
We have a number of, I think we have three leading online or available help resources. There's Lifeline, there's Men's Line, and there is Beyond Blue. And all three of these organisations provide a certain number of services. Men's Line is the only one that is specifically for men. So across the board, what I see is that, you know, most of these services don't actually understand men well enough. They don't understand men's issues well enough. And if a man calls up who's been, say, caught up in a family court, he's been alienated from his children, he's got a high conflict situation, people automatically put a judgment around him of what did he do. And in a lot of these cases, in the vast majority of the cases, certainly in all of the cases of the men that I support, they've been falsely accused, or the contributing factors have been very, very minor, as I was talking about earlier, with it being something like a verbal argument that has led them to be alienated from their children. And so, you know, in services that we're providing, the call centre staff, they're just not aware of the real issues that men are facing, and it's an incredibly complex area. It's taken me years to understand this, but our supporting suicide prevention services have not had that exposure. They haven't had that understanding and that depth of knowledge in, you know, what's really going on in men's lives.
Yes, because what often comes out is that the men are not prepared to open up or to talk about the violence that perhaps they might be experiencing. Is that a valid comment, do you think?
It's a common comment, and I think that it certainly has some foundation. But my first question about that was really, why aren't men speaking? And, you know, we can attribute a certain amount of it to the shame and the humiliation of what has happened to them. And then, you know, when we follow that on with then, say, my support groups, where they understand then when we start to talk about it that, you know, this did happen to other men. So there's a lot of lack of recognition in men also that they have been abused or that they have been victims. But what I've found is that purely by having compassion and empathy and by believing them and letting them know that, you know, men speak to me all the time. So it's really a matter of just not having that judgment and having a firm place of a supportive environment where they're not going to be questioned to say, well, what did you contribute to your violence? You know, that's something that we never ask women. You know, we never victim blame women, and so why do we victim blame men? You know, overall, you know, no, men speak to me all the time. So in that sense, it's very invalid. In the community, it's not something, you know, that guys are going to go and talk about down at the pub, whereas, you know, perhaps girls might talk about it over a glass of wine.
Yeah, so it's a very different environment in your groups rather than going to the police station and confronting the police sergeant and telling him,
well,
trying to convince him.
Yeah, I mean, their biggest fear with going to the police, and it's a very valid fear, is that they're often arrested. Policemen, and this isn't all policemen, there have been some who have been very supportive, so it's not across the board. But the vast majority will counter-accuse the man and say that he contributed to it. There's many cases where men, you know, have clearly been victims. They've turned up to stations, to police stations, to report violence against them. They're bloodied, battered and bruised, and they've been told to man up. So, you know, I think we definitely need some more education in our police services and recognition that, you know, we can't just send men back into violent homes or ask them to leave the home. They're often asked to leave the home, which means they're leaving their children then with a violent partner. So, you know, we have a real problem here.
Yes, it's hard to believe, but there are no male shelters in Australia, is my understanding.
Yes, none. None whatsoever. I think there's a couple of people that are trying to establish, you know, rooms in private homes, but there are no shelters. There's no funding for shelters. You know, in Victoria, a couple of months ago, they announced a $100,000 grant to go to shelter for animals from homes of domestic violence. And at the same time, they pulled the only $2,000 funding that was going to any kind of men's support in Victoria, which is through Soul Fathers United. But they had their funding pulled, but they put $100,000 towards sheltering animals. And so to men, what this says is that they're lower than animals in the hierarchy.
Yes, well, that might be historically. I think men have always been expendable, and unfortunately that's continuing until there's a major change of attitude.
That's exactly right. And I know now that there's a lot of women who are starting to come out and in support of men, and I'm hoping that we're seeing more sentiment changing, or it seems to me that we're seeing more sentiment changing in our communities, particularly where this is becoming sort of becoming quite obvious, is where men who have been victims, either through parental alienation or through domestic violence, that are going on to new relationships, their new partners are becoming acutely aware of the process that they went through, and they're becoming very supportive and very vocal. And as we, you know, talk about this more and more, and this is why I write and blog and post so frequently about these issues, is to create conversation. And I am seeing a change in sentiment in community, but we don't have that same change of sentiment in the media, and we don't have that, obviously, through our political and legal system, which is still just demonising men as violent and abusive, but not understanding that men can be victims and the genuine issues that men face across Australia.
Yes, because it's not just the 2,500 men that will die in the next 12 months, which is bad enough, but of course it's all the extended family and the relations and children and all these other people get affected, and the national productivity. I mean,
I think Suicide Prevention Australia, I think I read on their site that for every suicide there's at least six other close family members who are, you know, impacted negatively, and as a result of that suicide. And so, you know, then you start to multiply that out, and then extended people as well. And it's a major problem in our society, and I cannot for the life of me understand why we are so ignorant to it and why we are doing so little about it. It astounds me.
So, Jasmine, if people want to support you in your work, is there a website they should go to, or how can they get in touch with you?
There certainly is. They can join me on Facebook. It's a great way if they're Facebook users. Otherwise, my website is relatingtomen.com. The website is full of information and a few resources. They can read my blog and contribute that way if they like. But the website's getting a little bit of an overhaul at the moment, but it's all up and functioning. And, yeah, I'd love to hear from them.
So, Jasmine, we're getting to the end of the show. Could you tell us which song you've picked for us to go out on and why you picked it?
Can't remember the name of it. I know it's Tom Petty. What did
we say? I think I'll give you...
Something about backing down.
I'll give you a hint. Yes.
Don't back down, right?
That's it, by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. So this is your song. We'll be right back. that was I Won't Back Down by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. We've had our special guest today is Jasmine Newman, who is a men's coach and founder of Relating to Men. I should mention that if this program has raised any issues for our listeners, you can go to Beyond Blue on 1300 22 46 36 or Lifeline on 1311 14. So, Jasmine, thank you very much for being on the program, and we wish you, obviously, all success in the great work you're doing to reduce this epidemic of male suicide.
Thank you very much, Bill, and to you also, Ken. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks, Jasmine.
And we'll be back next week with another show, but don't forget, we'd love to hear from any of our listeners, so go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, send us an email, and we'd be in touch. And if you'd like to listen to this show again or any of our shows, go to our website, www.dadsontheair.com.au, where you can get ready access to all our shows and a whole lot of other information. So until next week, it's goodbye from us at Dads on the Air.